I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Girlfriend's Guide to Sports podcast. My name is Claire Coles, and this is your weekly update. It's Monday, April 29th. Let's start with what you missed over the last week. Then we'll move on to what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. All right, y'all, as always, we're going to get started with the MLB. And Monday started off spicy. Yankees manager Aaron Boone only made it 5 pitches into that game before he got ejected. It got worse for the New York team as the A's got a 2-run home run in the 9th to break their 8-game losing streak. And then speaking of breaking losing streaks, the Pirates beat the Brewers to end their 6-game losing streak as well. Cardinals second baseman Nolan Gorman was 0 for the last 19 at-bats before the 9th inning for the Diamondbacks game, where he hit a 2-run home run. The Cardinals won 5-3. There was also some good pitching on Monday. Phillies pitcher Suarez hasn't allowed a run in the last 25 innings. The Phillies shut out the Reds 7-0. And then Tigers pitcher Scoble got 9 strikeouts in just 6 innings as the Detroit team beat the Rays 7-1. Both pitchers got the W. The Astros are not off to a great start, as after Tuesday's loss to the Cubs, they are now 10 games under 500. It's the first time the Houston team has been that bad since 2016. On the flip side of that, the Guardians are off to the best start in their own franchise history, going 17-6 so far. Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani hit a 450-foot home run in their win over the Nationals 4-1. Braves pitcher Max Fried pitched a complete game for the first time for Atlanta since 2022. Atlanta shut out the Marlins for the second day in a row. There were also 2 grand slams on Tuesday, one by the D-backs' Pavin Smith, who added 4 runs to the 14-run game over the Cardinals. And then the Rockies' Brendan Rodgers got one in the 5th inning to win their game over the Padres for just their 2nd win in the last 10 games. And then Angels star Mike Trout hit a home run, leading it off for the first time since 2012. The Rangers got back-to-back home runs to beat the Mariners 5-1 on Wednesday. Twins Willie Castro's got his 27th birthday wish with a 3-run home run in their game. The Mets have lost their 5th game in 6 as of that game. The only win in that streak was on Wednesday over the Giants 8-2. Philly star Bryce Harper returned from the birth of his daughter and immediately gets a home run. So nice bounce back for him. And the Phillies beat the Reds 5-0 for their 5th shutout of the season. The Royals beat the Blue Jays 2-1 in a five-inning game after the game was called after a 3.5-hour rain delay. Yikes. The White Sox are officially the worst team in the league, but they won two games in a row against the Rays this week. That 9-4 win against the Tampa Bay team on Friday broke a 7-game losing streak. They would go on to win Sunday's game as well, setting a season-best consecutive 3 games in a row that they've won. They are now 6-22. The Yankees also lost 2 games in a row to the Brewers, even though the second one was in extra innings. The Giants had a walk-off 3-run home run to beat the Pirates late on Friday. The Astros needed to go to Mexico to break their 5-game losing streak. They beat the Rockies 12-4 in the first game of the Mexico City series on Saturday. And Saturday was just an offensive heavy day. Lots and lots of runs scored. The Red Sox had a monstrous game against the Cubs, winning 17-0. They hit a 6-run fifth inning. The Yankees beat the Brewers 15-3, and the Nationals also put up double-digit game, winning 11-4 over the Marlins. Finishing it off, the Twins scored 16, including Max Kelper's first home run of the season in their game. The Astros on Sunday got another big win. Viva La Mexico for the Houston team. They won 8-2, but now they head back stateside, so let's see if that momentum can continue in the United States. Speaking of momentum, Nick Senzel's had 2 home runs in the Nationals-Marlins game. The Washington team came back from a 7-run deficit to win 12-9. The Rangers' Wyatt Langford got his first home run of his entire career, and it was an inside-the-park home run. That video is linked on the blog because inside-the-park home runs don't happen every day. This one also wasn't even close. The ball bounced off the back wall and didn't even make it back to home plate before he hit the base. 2 games went into extra innings on Sunday. The Braves got a big win against the American League leading Guardians with a walk-off in the 10th. Both teams now have 19 wins apiece. And then the Mets, Mark Venetos had a big hero moment of the game against the Cardinals with a home run in the 11th inning. Also, speaking of home runs, Yankees star Aaron Judge hit his 261st home run as a Yankee, making him 9th on the all-time home run list for the New York team. He surpassed Derek Jeter. He had gone 9 days without a home run before Wednesday when he hit number 261. It only took Judge 860 games to get to that mark. Moving along to the NBA, we do have a team that has advanced, and keep in mind that no NBA team has ever advanced after being down 3-1. And there's a couple teams that were down 3-0. Monday had a bunch of game twos, and they all went the way of the team who had won game one. The Cavaliers had a much better start than the Magic, who only put up 18 points in the entire first quarter. The Cavs cruised to a win by 10, even though they only scored 16 in the final quarter. Knicks DiVincenzo put up the final three-pointer to beat the 76ers in a super tight game on Monday. The New York team put up 8 points in the final 28 seconds to win. The Lakers were up 15 by half and 20 points at one point during their game over Denver, but Nuggets Murray hit the buzzer beater to win 101-99. The Nuggets would also add to that lead on Thursday to take the series lead 3-0 over the Lakers. Remember that stat I just told you. The Lakers would finally get their first win and avoid the sweep by winning on Saturday. That breaks the 11-game win streak that Denver had over the Lakers. The next two teams had better luck. The Magic annihilated the Cavs 121-83. Dang. The Magic tied up the series on Saturday, outscoring the Cavs 61-29 in the second half. So we are tied in that series. Then the 76ers Embiid dropped 50 points to lead the Philly team to a win in that game too by 11. The tables would flip on the 76ers on Sunday. Knicks point guard Jalen Brunson put up a playoff franchise record for the Knicks, scoring 47 points in that game to win a close one by 5. The Knicks are up 3-1. The Timberwolves had a strong second half, and by that I mainly mean a fourth quarter, to break the game two open and take the series 2-0 lead. They also put up 30-plus points in three quarters to destroy the Suns on Friday, when they actually were in Phoenix, no less. Minnesota and Anthony Edwards put away the Suns on Sunday, winning 122-116. Suns star Booker tried really hard, putting up 49 points, but the Suns go home and Minnesota becomes the first team to advance, the only team to sweep so far. Pacers power forward Pascal Siakam put up 37 points in their win over the Bucks on Tuesday. The Indiana team won by 17. The next game was much closer. The Pacers scored 39 in the first quarter, but the Bucks came clawing back to take the game into overtime. Bucks small forward Middleton was responsible for 42 points. The Pacers got the last laugh, though, taking the 2-1 series lead. The Bucks are just limping through their injuries, and it is starting to show. They would drop Sunday's game as well by 13 points, despite keeping it close in the first half. Pacers are up 3-1. The Mavs-Clippers game was close all game, but with both teams scoring 22 points in the second quarter apiece. But the Mavs tie up the series by 3 in game 2. Game 3 may have started off in favor of the Clippers, but the Mavs made a quick comeback in the second quarter, scoring 36 in that quarter alone. They would hold on to win, and Kyrie put up 19 in the second half. The Clippers scored 39 in the first quarter and built up a 31-point lead at one point during Sunday's game, but the Dallas team came all the way back to tie it up with 4:25 left in the game and took the lead with 2:15 left. Kyrie Irving had another great game with 40 points, but the Mavs would ultimately fall short and lose 116-111, so we are now tied in that series at 2 games apiece. The Heat evened up their series against the Celtics on Wednesday. The Miami team was on all night for three-pointers, showing out with 23, and that is a playoff record. Saturday, it was all Celtics, though. The Boston team scored 42 points in the second quarter and cruised to a win, 104-84. That series is now 2-1. The Thunder took a commanding lead in their series and their game on Wednesday. The Oklahoma City team won by 32 points, with SGA putting up 33 by himself. It was more of the same on Saturday as they continued to ease their way closer to sealing the series just one win away. They took Saturday's game 106-85. Moving along to a little bit of football news, because this week we found out who is going to the NFL, as the NFL draft was Thursday. This draft was majorly offensive, and I don't mean that in a, like, against saying curse words kind of way. I mean it as in 23 offensive players were taken in the first round. That eclipsed the previous record of 19 by quite a margin. The highest defensive player that was taken went at pick 15. Heisman Trophy winner and USC quarterback Caleb Williams went as this year's number one pick. 5 quarterbacks were taken in the first 10 selections. One of those was the biggest surprise of the night. That was Washington's quarterback Michael Penix going 8th. The Falcons, the reason why this is so surprising is the Falcons already have Kirk Cousins signed to a 4-year contract. And it was clear Kirk Cousins found out when we all did. It was surprising because Penix is also one of the oldest quarterbacks to come into the draft in quite some time. He is just a week away from turning 24. In contrast to that, UNC's quarterback Drake May is only 20. Penix was expected to be one of the quarterbacks who is, like, ready to start almost right away. And with just signing Kirk Cousins like 2 months ago, one would assume Michael Penix will be sitting the bench and doing some learning. But TBD, though, it doesn't bode well for Cousins. Also, it was huge news this week, absolutely unprecedented, but Reggie Bush has gotten his Heisman back. He originally won the award in 2005 as he was playing running back for USC. However, it was retroactively it wasn't actually taken away. He actually went ahead and voluntarily vacated his title after it was discovered that he had accepted lavish gifts while he was in college at USC, which was illegal at the time. He actually vacated the title because it was rumored that he was going to have it stripped from him in 2010. And so that's when he gave it up. It was not awarded to anyone else, although it was rumored that it was actually voluntarily offered to both Vince Young of the University of Texas as well as Matt Leinart, also of USC, but neither one accepted. 14 years later, Bush was reinstated after times have changed with the NIL policy nowadays. And then the spring transfer portal closes Tuesday, tomorrow, the 30th. It's been a little crazy. One of the major headlines, Arizona State's highly touted quarterback recruit, Jaden Rashada, has decided to transfer to Georgia. You might remember that name from all the NIL money that was promised to him at Florida, but then it fell through and then he was looking elsewhere. TCU was on the table and he ultimately went to Arizona State. It does help now that players can transfer an indefinite amount of times as long as they have the grades to do so. So expect lots of action in the transfer portal moving forward. In the PGA Tour realm, Rory McIlroy has never competed at TPC Louisiana before this week, but something tells me it won't be the last time he goes and visits and plays there. Rory and his partner, fellow Irishman Shane Lowry, drew the biggest and loudest crowds of the weekend when they played in the team event. They were in the lead going into the weekend and were only two shots off the lead after the final round, or going into the final round, but Chad Remy and Martin Traynor came surging back from tied of 27th to the top of the leaderboard with 9 birdies in the final 11 holes. Their score of 63 actually tied the alternate shot course record. So remember that you're playing with a teammate and you are alternating shots. So that's why that 63, quite impressive. But that was actually where their luck ran out. The two finished 3 hours before the final pair, so they had a long time to wait, and they ended up playing in the playoff. They had been sitting around for a little bit. The playoff hole did not go their way. Their first shot was pulled to the left and went in the rough. The second shot was also left of the cart path, and the Martin Traynor missed a short 6-foot putt to give the Irish pair the win. This is Rory's 25th PGA Tour title, but his first of the season, and it is Shane Lowry's third of his career. We also had a live event this week in the Australian Outback. Brandon Steele won that live event at Adelaide by one stroke over Louis Oosthuizen, thanks to his second round of 64. But the news was really all about the Aussie team, who took the win, led by Cam Smith. Ripper GC won in a playoff, and it was fitting that the Team Australia won in the Australian live event. I actually want to go over some hockey as it is Stanley Cup playoff time. The Hurricanes have had a crazy week. It started on Monday in game 2. When Carolina scored 2 goals 9 seconds apart to win 5-3 after trailing by 3-0, and the first one was with an empty goal at the other end of the rink. Also, then the fourth game went into double overtime. The Islanders survived, only needing 1 minute and 24 seconds into double overtime to score and force a game 5. There were a couple other games going into overtime this week. Game 2 between the Panthers and Lightning on Tuesday. The Panthers scored 2 in the first period and then couldn't get one to drop until overtime. The Kings won in overtime on Wednesday, also a game 2. They scored 3 in the first and then another in the third to go to overtime with the Oilers. They upset the Edmonton team, though, and evened the series. Saturday, the Stars Golden Knights went into overtime when Dallas picked up a much needed win, and they are still trailing in that series 1-2. The Canucks also upset the Predators' sweep attempt in overtime on Sunday. The Vancouver team was trailing all game but scored 2 to take us into overtime before getting that win. The Rangers swept the Capitals on Sunday, winning all 4 of their games and advancing to the next round. They are the only team to advance and the only team to sweep in the entire first round. teeny bit of Olympic sports here. The DOJ agreed to give $138 million settlement to the gymnasts that were abused by Larry Nassar. About damn time. The Diamond League is heating up as Paris prep really gets underway. We are seeing some of the biggest names in track and field at these meets. These were two back-to-back weeks in China. Christian Coleman and Fred Curley, two United States sprinters, were in the 100-meter dash in China on Saturday, but both Olympians were upstaged by South Africa's Akani Simbine. Mondo Duplantis broke his own world record in the pole vault last week at the Diamond League, although fell short on all three attempts to break it again this week. The new world record stands at 6.24 meters. That is 20 feet, 5 inches and a half. Sha'Carri Richardson also has faded twice now in the 200 meters, finishing second and third in the last two meets. Jasmine Camacho Quinn had a photo finish with world record holder Toby Amusen in the 100-meter hurdles. And don't forget, Olympic trials are set for late June, so we got some time to get up to snuff for the Americans. Super quick highlights just overall in any sport this week, starting with women's basketball. WNBA great Candace Parker has announced she is retiring at the age of 38. She won two NCAA championship titles with Tennessee, went number one in the WNBA draft in 2008, and then won the WNBA championship with the Sparks, the Sky, and the Aces. She is the first player to do so in the WNBA with three different franchises. Speaking of retiring, another 38-year-old, longtime NFL quarterback Matt Ryan also announced his retirement. The Boston College grad went straight to the Falcons, who he played for from 2008 to 2021. He'd been passed around a little bit. We kind of haven't heard from him in a little bit, and has not since found a home since 2021. He went to the Super Bowl but fell to Tom Brady and the Patriots in the biggest comeback of all time in 2016. He was still voted the NFL MVP that year. And then Oklahoma home run queen Jocelyn Allo for softball has signed a one-month deal with the Savannah Bananas. So it'll be interesting to see what she does on the baseball diamond. And then USA Track and Field has expanded on its maternity policy, giving athletes more time to qualify and like hit their qualifying marks and then also to recover. This is super timely news as Allison Felix, the first one to really champion this movement, gave birth to her second baby, this time her son, Kenneth III. That is what happened over the last week. Now let's go over what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. As always, we start with the MLB. Monday, you can watch the Twins at the White Sox at 6:40 on Fox Sports 1. Then we go all the way to Saturday when the Mets take on the Rays or the Mariners at the Astros. That will be at 6:15 on Fox. And Sunday, the Giants take on the Phillies at 6 on ESPN. Lots of action in softball and baseball this week in the NCAA. Mostly ranked versus ranked softball games. Get ready. Unless I tell you, it's a softball game. Monday, 18 Mississippi State versus 14 Mizzou at 5 on ESPNU. Then Wednesday, 12 Florida takes on 16 Florida State in the hated state rivalry at 6 p.m. on ACC Network. Thursday, again, another number of 12 Florida versus 16 Florida State at 2 on ESPNU, followed by 22 Kentucky versus 3 Tennessee at 6 on SEC Network. Speaking of hated in-state rivalries, Friday, number 4 Oklahoma State takes on number 2 Oklahoma. They will play at 6:30 on Fox Sports 1. The second game of that matchup will be on Saturday at noon on ESPN. Then you also can watch number 11 Texas A&M take on 12 Florida. They have a hard week this week, y'all. They will play at 1 on SEC Network. This is our one ranked first ranked baseball game is Saturday night, number 21 NC State versus 10 Florida State at 6 on ACC. Then back to softball on Sunday. Number 9 Georgia versus 18 Mississippi State, also taking on two ranked opponents this week. They will play at 11 a.m. on SEC Network. The second game of the number 11 Texas A&M Florida matchup at noon on ESPN2, and the final game of Oklahoma State Oklahoma, they will play at 3 on ESPN2. Lots of softball. In NBA basketball, we've got game 4s tonight. In the East, the Celtics take on the Heat at 6:30 on TNT. But in the West, the Thunder take on the Pelicans at 7:30 on NBA TV. Oklahoma City could win it all tonight. because they lead 3-0. And then the Lakers take on the Nuggets at 9 on TNT. Denver leads that 3-1. Tuesday, game fives begin in the East, all in the East. The 76ers at the Knicks at 6 on TNT. The Magic take on the Cavs at 7 on NBA. And the Pacers take on the Bucks at 8:30 on TNT. New York Knicks and the Pacers are both up 3-1, and the Magic Cat and the Cavs are tied. Game fives continue on Wednesday in the East, the Heat at the Celtics at 6:30 on TNT, followed by the Pelicans at the Thunder at 7:30 on NBA, if necessary. And then the Mavs take on the Clippers at 9 on TNT. That series is also tied. Game sixes will begin Thursday. These are all TBD on TBD, so I'm not going to go through those, but game sixes will begin Thursday. Nuggets at the Lakers, Knicks at the 76ers, and the Bucks at the Pacers, if we even need those games and if it's necessary. Friday, game six is Thunder at the Pelicans, Celtics at the Heat, the Cavs at the Magic, all on Friday, and then ending with the Clippers at the Mavs at 8:30 on ESPN. Game sevens will be Saturday and Sunday if needed. Lakers, Nuggets, 76ers, Knicks, and Pacers, Bucks will be on Saturday. Pelicans, Thunder, Maverick, Clippers, Heat, Celtics, and Magic, Cavaliers will be on Sunday. So by Monday or this time next week, we should be ready to go for round two. Little bit of UFL football going on this week, as are normal four games. Saturday, the Birmingham Stallions take on the Memphis Showboats at 11 a.m. on ABC. Then the Houston Roughnecks next take on the St. Louis Battlehawks at 2 on Fox. Sunday, you can catch the Arlington Renegades at the Michigan Panthers at noon on Fox, followed by San Antonio at DC at 3, also on Fox. The PGA Tour comes to Dallas for the Byron Nelson. That begins Thursday, round one at 3 on Golf Channel. Can also catch round two on Friday at the same time. Saturday's round three will be at noon on Golf Channel and then move over to CBS at 2 on Saturday. Same schedule on Sunday, wrapping up the final round, 2 o'clock on CBS. For NHL hockey playoffs, we've got a game five tonight, Lightning at the Panthers at 6 on ESPN. Florida leads that 3-1 so far. And in the West, game four, Stars at the Golden Knights at 8:30 on ESPN. Golden Knights lead 2-1. Tuesday, you can catch all game fives. The Maple Leafs at the Bruins at 6 on ESPN. Boston leads 3-1. The Islanders at the Hurricanes at 6:30 on TBS. Carolina leads 3-1. Avalanche at the Jets at 8:30 on ESPN. Colorado leads 3-1. And the Predators at the Canucks at 9 p.m. on TBS. Vancouver leads 3-1. Sense a pattern there? Wednesday, game six for the Panthers Lightning will be TBD if necessary. Then game five, the Golden Knights at the Stars and the Kings at the Oilers. Those are all TBD. And then the rest of the week is all TBD. So game sixes will be Thursday, Friday. Game sevens will be Saturday and Sunday. This weekend is the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby, so do not miss it. Friday, we've got Kentucky Oaks, which is the kind of like prelim running, not of the same horses. They will be on Friday at noon on USA, but the 150th running, you can catch like programs starting at 11 a.m. on USA, but really it starts at NBC at 1:30. The post time for the race, which means race time, is 5:57 Central. We also have a different kind of track running, which is Formula One Miami Grand Prix. So it actually is stateside this time. So you can catch practice and sprint qualifying on Friday. The sprint race will be at 10:55 a.m. on ESPN on Saturday, followed by qualifying at 2:55 on ESPN with the main Grand Prix big time race on Sunday. That will be at 3 on ABC. That wraps it up for me this week. Lots going on, tons of playoffs. I know, thanks for sticking with me while I read out all of those games, but we will start to narrow down the field as we get into rounds two for the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs. As always, check out the blog, The Girlfriend's Guide to Sports, for more games and times, and I'll catch y'all next week.